as Charles Walker's in front, and he's in for the touchdown. It's Peters for the touchdown. Kansas City sees Sanders make the catch, and Denver at last has found the end zone.
On the draw, Charles.
Oh, it's down.
The ball is out. It is picked up by the Broncos' Roby, and he's in the end zone for an unbelievable touchdown.
Those are the sounds and the images from an amazing Thursday night football. Welcome to another Around the NFL podcast. We're starting off a little bit different. I'm Greg Rosenthal. I'm with Chris Wesseling. We're going to talk about the Thursday night game right off of the top. And Wes, what an amazing game this was. Broncos Chiefs. I heard some people say this was an ugly game, but wasn't it a lot of fun?
I loved it. I have problems with quarterbacks who can't move offenses. But I also have no problem watching two great defenses. And tonight we saw that. And we had the Peyton Manning storyline all game.
I thought it was fascinating throughout the game. And then the ending of it, of course, we really have to start there. This is really one of those games that this is why Peyton Manning is still playing for a moment like this. This is why I get so excited about each one of these games. Because we could watch another 500 NFL games. We're not going to see two touchdowns, 9 seconds apart in the final minute to win the game, including Peyton Manning on a night where really everyone was saying, oh, his career is ending, and he looked bad for most of it. But when the chips were down for the second straight week, he had his best drive when he absolutely needed it, 80 yards right down the field in less than 2 minutes to tie it up.
It combined two of my favorite things. One, a reminder of why we watch sports. You hit on it a little bit. Because most football games, we've seen it all before. This gave us something new. Like you said, a new ending we haven't seen. That's off the script. And the other thing is an aging player holding off Father Time to show us. On the same night where you think about what it takes to get 70,000 passing yards in a career, he shows us he's still got a little something left. Like you said, an uneven night. Some Ephus pitches that he threw that you
just
shake your
head at. It was awful. That's the thing.
Five passes could have been picked. It wasn't a great night for him. But it ends up being, you know, one of his happiest moments.
And I know you wrote about this in your takeaways piece, that the Gary Kubiak offense in Denver really isn't working. You know, they really tried to emphasize the run game and going out of center early in the game. And it was awful. Peyton Manning is getting hit. They're still not picking up the right blitzers on the offensive line. I mean, I've never seen Peyton Manning take this many sacks or get hit that much. They fall down 14-0, and Manning had thrown a pick six at this point. He's playing awful. And immediately after that, they go to shotgun. They have a nice 80-yard drive to end the first half. Charles has a fumble in the red zone. They somehow tie it up at halftime. This was a game the Chiefs should have won so many different times. But in the end, they still had the lead with 2.5 minutes left. And, oh my gosh, shocker, Peyton Manning goes in the hurry-up, and he looks a lot more comfortable. I mean, this is what he's been doing his whole career. Gary Kubiak, you know, listen up.
Yeah, he has to be able to set his feet. We've been saying that over and over again. And he has to get into a rhythm, and he can't do that when he's under center. You have to let him go up-tempo, shotgun, no huddle, do your thing, Peyton Manning. And we saw that on the final drive. We also saw he avoided rookie Marcus Peters, who has been lights out through two games.
Oh, my gosh. He has been incredible.
Picked on Jamel Fleming relentlessly on that final drive.
He did, and Demaryius Thomas was a huge factor, making a couple big plays. And Fleming was probably the GOAT for a defense that otherwise looks really good this year. I mean, Justin Houston is playing just as well this year as he did a year ago. My boy Jay Howard, he's one of my new boys. He had a big night. I've never noticed Jay Howard before, but he was incredible.
They deserved a better fate. Five turnovers by the Chiefs tonight. That's why they lost.
It's amazing that they were up in that game with four turnovers with 2.5 minutes left. Alex Smith, you know, everyone loves him as a game manager until nights like this when, you know, he wasn't really aggressive down the field. He made a couple plays to his tight ends, but he threw two killer interceptions. I don't really fault him for the first one. It was just Aqib Talib making an unbelievable play, but I definitely fault him for the second one. It was a red zone interception. That was in the fourth quarter, another chance for them to take a lead. And Talib's play kind of just reminds me of what I was talking about last week. This Broncos defense has a chance to be so special because they have huge playmakers at every level. Von Miller is one of the best pass rushers in the league. DeMarcus Ware has 9 quarterback hits so far this season. He had 20 all of last season. Sylvester Williams had a big play tonight. Brandon Marshall is the one that caused the fumble that Courtney Roby, Bradley Roby returned.
Chris Harris had an interception. Talib has an interception. Roby,
it's the best defense in the league, or it could be.
I agree. You know, it's disrespectful to the Seahawks, but the Seahawks have some problems they're working through right now. The Broncos are lights out, and I don't even blame Alex Smith for that reason. Mm. This is a very tough defense to go against. Between Flacco and Alex Smith, they've had a 45 quarterback rating against this defense.
That's why this Broncos team remains so fascinating to me, because Manning didn't really answer any questions tonight. He had something to build off with that last drive, just like he did last week. But there's just as many questions about him right now as they were going into it. But their defense is so good that the recipe is there for them to win some games if they just get a little bit better on offense. They've gotten nothing from the running game, very little from Manning, and they're 2-0 against two pretty good teams, two pretty good defenses.
I think we've seen this week that there are quite a few detractors for Peyton Manning and a lot of defenders, and I think that they can really find common ground on this one issue. If Peyton Manning's going to succeed, if he's going to overcome his own obvious physical limitations, which are there, you can see them, they're there, and a patchwork offensive line, and defense is cheating up to make him throw it beyond 20 yards, he's going to have to do it with his own up-tempo, no-huddle offense, not Gary Kubiak's.
And before we go to the rest of the guys, quickly, this was just a gut punch, absolutely terrible loss for the Chiefs. And Jamal Charles, who, you know, someday we might be talking about him as a possible Hall of Fame candidate. He has 125 yards in this game. He has a touchdown. He's just gliding up and down the field looking good. But just two killer fumbles. And I guess just your impressions of the Chiefs and losing this game in the division at home so early.
The first one cost the Chiefs a field goal. The second one was the game-winning touchdown. So Charles cost his team 10 points. And like you said, he was gliding all over it. He looked great. But, yeah, the Chiefs, to me, are the better team.
Woo!
I think they're the better team. They outplayed the Broncos severely tonight, but they had those far.
They're more balanced. I thought the Broncos would win because they have the most dominant side in this game, and that's their defense.
But the Broncos are 2-0 with the best defense in the league.
There you go. And the Chiefs, their fans have to just feel that, you know, it's a division rival that you feel like no matter what you do right, it's like you still can't beat them. They can't beat these Manning Broncos, and this was their chance. They absolutely should have won this game. They didn't pull it off. It's going to be fun to watch this division. I think it's going to be a three-team race all season. That's really everything from one of the better Thursday night games I can remember in recent memory. We've had some good primetime games so far this season. That's why we talked about it for a while. But let's get to the rest of the guys and the rest of the show.
The Around the NFL podcast was overthrown by Peyton Manning.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
What a sweeping gesture that was.
I'm working on that because, you know, it's been a couple of weeks now on camera, and the whole thing is you got to be dynamic, you got to have energy up, and you got to be a leader. Leaders got to lead.
Well, for people listening, Dan is now sweeping his arm movements like we're new cars on The Price is Right.
You are like
a vacuum.
You're like the Rod Roddy to my Bob Barker. I like that.
Who's Rod? I don't even know Rod Roddy.
He's in the Broadcasting Hall of Fame.
Rod Roddy was a flamboyant announcer on that show.
He wore. Greg never stayed home from school and watched like 8 game shows in a row.
The Price is Right, but I don't remember old Rod.
It was the best thing. He
was
the best.
Star.
All right, so this is the Around the NFL podcast, yes, and this is our big Thursday preview show where we get into all of the games on Sunday and on Monday. You heard our recap of Thursday night football between the Chiefs and the Broncos. So now we will get into all the other games. And, you know, we really dig in deep. A little dollop of mirth, just a dollop, but big time informative info.
Little did you know, dollop of mirth, Delaware's first album.
Delaware, for those that are new to the show, was Greg's emo goth band that he formed in Western Massachusetts in the late 90s.
A goth band is calling their album Dollop of Mirth.
Nothing. It was barely a band at all.
It's the 90s, Mark.
I think the first album was How Do You Want It Cooked? Well, we've been over
that. How Do You Want It Cooked? That's such a ridiculous title. You sold no units, right?
No. All right. This band barely existed.
So, yeah, so we're going to go through all the games on Sunday and Monday, set those up. But we also have a guest in the studio for the second week in a row. We're going to have our good friend slash colleague. I don't know how close you guys have gotten with him. Me and Andrew are very close now. Andrew Siciliano will be in the studio. And Andrew, of course, hosts the Around the NFL TV show on NFL Network, which you can watch Monday through Friday on at 6 p.m. Eastern, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Thursday a little earlier, Greg, because of Thursday Night Football.
Oh, yeah, 11 in the morning on the West Coast, 2 o'clock Eastern,
Don't
3 hours.
Don't confuse people with time zones, Greg.
Well, you know, we're on the West Coast. That should count for something. Andrew, you know, he did 3 hours there. He's coming up here. It's a big day.
Greg wants time zone equality.
Oh, and by the way, we've been on the Around the NFL TV show all week. I don't even know if people listening even know that. They're throwing us in there for about a segment a day, and you better watch before they kick us off. Get while the going's good.
It's a good show because they make Andrew stand the whole time. There's no seating anywhere. At one point, he's been throwing it to us, so that's good, right, Mark?
I'm not sure that the man working in the factory in Ohio or Pennsylvania is watching, you know, Around the NFL at 3 p.m. Eastern, or whenever it's 6 p.m.
What are you saying?
Well, if this was 1963, we'd have to
worry about that. I haven't heard a peep from one person I know about being on the show.
Hey, the factory, my factory is overseas.
It's not our fault that you're low on friends and family.
I know. I have plenty of friends. They could care less about the sport, apparently.
All right. So there is so much to guess, Ket. Mark is going through some things, obviously.
No,
and maybe we'll touch on that a little bit more
everyone
later.
I know has reached out to me. They couldn't say enough about the appearance.
How about we talk about some games?
Okay.
Let's do that. And, I mean, why don't we start with the game of the week, Sunday Night Football, guys. And who loves Sunday Night Football? We all do. And who loves an NFC Championship rematch? We all do. The Seahawks at the Packers. That's the big difference. We are not at what's the name of the stadium, Wes?
Which stadium? CenturyLink?
Yes, CenturyLink Field. We are at Lambeau Field. And, Wes, I'll start with you. A little sweet revenge, potentially, for the Packers, who really want a measure of payback after what happened.
Well, they blew it last year. They flat out blew it, and the coach got a little, you know...
tight?
A little tight, yeah. And now, at least they have a healthy Aaron Rodgers. So Seahawks are going to have to deal with that. They had a lot of blown coverages last week. Richard Sherman was playing the slot, which you don't really see with Deshaun Shad outside. Mm. So this is a different secondary, no Cam Chancellor. And to me, Aaron Rodgers looks like he's in this 1991-92 Michael Jordan zone.
Ooh.
Where he's just trying these layups at the basket where you think he's going in for the dunk and he switches his hand. Aaron Rodgers is doing things like I've never seen on a football field, a two-handed push pass that hits Eddie Lacy in stride.
Oh, that was awesome.
He made 5 throws to touchdown to Cobb, 3 different throws to James Jones, and a back shoulder to Davante Adams that were sublime. Just, you can't make a better throw than that.
To your Jordan point, he has started to, at least against the Bears, where he's doing that like MJ shoulder shrug type body language, where the game he's mastered at such a level, the confidence is there. So clearly he's loose and just having fun.
And it shows in the numbers. He hasn't thrown a pick at home since December 2012. He's absolutely perfect at home. And they also had Deion Bailey up at the line the Seahawks did last week. Got burned on that winning touchdown by the Rams.
Well, I think he's trying. He's trying different things now because he's got his mind working, his body working, and his chemistry with his receivers working like no other quarterback in the NFL. He's just absurdly confident right now.
I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing that last week things actually went against Rodgers. In theory, like very rarely was his first read open. And that's the thing with Rodgers. He's at the point now, he was the best quarterback in the league last week. He had the best performance, the best game. And I threw that out there on Twitter, and people were like, oh no, like his fantasy numbers were that. If you watch that game, none of those first reads were open. They were all almost impossible passes, and yet he's still making it happen. And you got to think, like, now that his legs, you know, he's got the mobility again, you have to think they are just fired up. I'm a little worried though, like, Randall Cobb isn't 100%. The wide receivers aren't getting separation. Wasn't a good running day for them last week. So it's not necessarily a slam dunk that they're going to just go up and down the field.
But Russell Wilson and the Seahawks have never lost to Green Bay.
Mm. Well, yeah. I mean, that's the weird thing. Like, every member of around the NFL.
Very lucky. Very, very, very lucky to do
that. That's fine.
Two of those games were almost
flipped. At this point, I feel like we're looking at the Seahawks like, not into it.
This is the weird thing. We all picked against the Seattle Seahawks, the back-to-back conference. Greg didn't pick, of course. I don't know why. He's just not picking this year, and it's costing all of us. But we all picked the Packers to win, perhaps a little overconfidence. But I don't know. Am I going to bet against Aaron Rodgers at home right now?
It's not like that. We always get this feedback on Twitter. How could you all do this? It was a coin flip game for me.
Right.
This was the hardest game for me to pick and the last one to pick. But you have to pick someone. So I went with the home team and the quarterback playing at a Michael Jordan level.
These two teams, especially, whoever's home, I'm picking. Just the home field advantage is dominant for both.
And here's the problem that the Packers have. Russell Wilson didn't look that good last week because he was under constant duress and he didn't always make the best decisions of when to stay in the pocket. I thought he rushed things. Who's rushing the passer for the Packers? Who is their best defensive lineman right now? According to Bob McGinn, who I trust pretty well, it was probably B.J. Raji last week. And they lose Sam Berrington for the season, who's a good inside linebacker. That means Clay Matthews has to be at inside linebacker even more. Sam Shields had a terrible game last week. It's not like their defense looked very good against the Bears. So the Seahawks could get right on offense.
They didn't try anything down the field against the Rams because of the Rams' defensive line. I think that will be different this week.
Big uptick in Bob McGinn references on this podcast recently.
It's been more than one?
I feel like they've been flying around lately. I don't know.
Yeah, Bob's the best.
Let's move on to the next game. Let's head to Sunday, one of the early games where the New England Patriots travel to Orchard Park to face the Bills. Both these teams coming off convincing week one wins. And now, Greg Rosenthal, you get a real good look at what's going to go on with Buffalo with Tom Brady playing excellent football. Obviously, the Patriots have a ton of confidence, but there's some magic in Buffalo, isn't there?
Well, they've beaten the Patriots. I heard some narrative like, well, can the Bills finally beat the Patriots in Buffalo? Ryan Fitzpatrick beat him to go 3-0 just a few years ago. I think
23 of 26 wins for New England.
Right, I know. They've dominated him. And one of those wins was last week 17 when they didn't play all their starters. I was really worried about the Patriots' offensive line going into week one. They played fine against Pittsburgh. Maybe that was because of the opponent that they protected Brady so well. This is a great test for an offensive line which is still rotating pieces and playing rookies in the middle. And you got Marcel Darius back and Kyle Williams next to each other. Could be a long day for Brady.
The difference between whatever happened with the Bills before, Brady was 23-3 against the Bills. Now Rex Ryan, who has made a career of obsessing over Bill Belichick and the Patriots. Last four Rex Ryan-led teams against the Patriots, those games decided by a grand total of 9 points. He knows how to get
close. How many did he win, though? He's very good at losing close games to Brady. Wow.
But he plays them tough no matter the circumstance, and it doesn't matter how bad the Jets were some of those years. He did find a way to get under Belichick's skin. But Belichick is 12-2 against quarterbacks in their first and second season.
Well, that's a good point because everything went according to script for the Bills last week. They jump out to an early lead, run the ball, limit Tyrod Taylor to about 20 pass attempts. What happens if he gets into a shootout with Tom Brady? Then the mistakes start flying because you're no longer under control. You've got to go toe-to-toe with a great quarterback.
But maybe this is a defense you can get in a shootout against. I don't think this Patriots defense is going to be very good. I think you can run against them at least at this point. They're not going to have Dominic Easley. I mean, they're playing Chandler Jones at defensive tackle most of the last week. Geno Grissom is at defensive tackle. Allen Brandt. It's like if LeSean McCoy is healthy, which we don't know if he will be, you would think they'd be able to run.
On Thursday, he suffered some type of setback in practice with his hamstring. So, I mean, it's one of those things, by the way, with hamstrings. It's like, when you think you're ready, you should probably wait another couple of weeks because this now threatens to be something that hampers him all through the season. They need him to be a star player on that offense. I don't care how good Tyrod Taylor's looked so far. McCoy's got to be the engine there.
This is the acid test for Rex Ryan's Bills, in my opinion, because this is the team. If you're in the AFC East and you're Rex Ryan, this is who you have to make a statement against.
You think Rex Ryan is going to take acid before this game?
It might help.
Get the headline out there.
Have you looked at his record with the Jets?
Ken Kesey's on that coaching staff.
By the way, the Sizzler, Mark Sessler, and Connor Orr, and Kevin Patrick take the Patriots. So the old Zeuser and the Mailman are riding hard with the Bills. Let's do this thing. And we move on.
Isn't that
before
nice?
We move on, I just want to say, by the way, Greg, what's going on with your boy Brady?
What?
What Brady said at his locker this week. He was asked about Donald Trump, we don't dip our toes into politics too often around here, but Donald,
he's a reality star trying out for president.
Right. He's also leading. He's the leading Republican guy right now in the race for president for next year. This is the quote. If Brady was asked if Trump could win the election, I hope so. That would be great. there'd be a putting green on the White House lawn. I'm sure of that. You know what I call that, guys?
Taravil Magnifico.
Taravil Magnifico, the great reveal, which is when someone says something in casual conversation and immediately, without having to say anything, you know that person is a fool. Tom Brady.
Fool is an interesting word.
I mean, listen, you're aligning yourself with the Donald.
Well, they're,
they're
golfing buddies. That's all I know about them.
Great quarterback.
I know Wes is with me on this one. A long time ago, I divorced myself from thinking that these athletes are somehow people that I need to look up to and be like. I can appreciate
their athletes. Aren't you so sophisticated?
I'm just saying I can appreciate their athletic endeavors without thinking they're cool guys or I care about their views. And I don't care if Tom Brady doesn't say another word the rest of his life. Just keep playing football.
Tom Brady in the same tax bracket as Donald Trump?
Probably.
They're pals.
All right, let's move on to a big NFC tilt. This one on Sunday. A late game. The Dallas Cowboys coming off really what amounts to close to a miracle win over the Giants. Now head to Philadelphia and face the Eagles, Mark Sessler. I call it, and this is just me, the DeMarco Murray game. How about you?
I don't know. He said this morning he could not care less about this matchup.
Do you believe him?
Not at all.
I always say that.
If he doesn't care about the Cowboys, he cares about showing that he can do more than rush the ball, what, 8 times for 9 yards? I mean, that was a disastrous showing for him in week one. I think he wants to come in and show Dallas, you should have signed me, you should have kept me around, you made no effort, you're going to pay
for it. How did Dallas do running the ball in week one against the bad Giants defense?
Less yards than they
had. So far, no one really looks like they won this.
Well, I do know someone who doesn't care about this, which is Chip Kelly. I don't think he's going to suddenly give DeMarco Murray the ball a lot more.
No.
And if you looked at their offense last week, you got the sense that DeMarco Murray is a piece of that offense, but he's not necessarily more important piece than Darren Sproles, and he's not that much more of an important piece than Ryan Matthews. He's one of three.
Did that have to do with playing? I mean, was that the matchup potentially?
What?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's game to game. I don't think the plan is to not use DeMarco Murray.
I think they're going to use him, but I don't think they're going to be like, hey, let's feed him the ball and get Nate.
He's looking as slow as he did last week. That's going to be the plan.
You think he really looked that bad?
I thought he looked incredibly slow.
Maybe it's all those 5,000 touches that
he didn't look great, but I also say, like, I felt like I saw that a lot, even not the end of last year, where he kind of sneaks up on you a little bit. He doesn't look like the fastest guy.
I thought he looked really explosive from September through the end of November last year, and then you could see he lost his burst, and he hasn't regained it.
And maybe Kelly saw the same thing, because they rested him as much as you could during the preseason and during training camp. He sat on the sideline during practices.
Well, this is a great test for this Dallas defense, which we think is going to be better. And overall, I think they played a solid game against the Giants. They were a little unlucky to be down so much defensively. But going into Philadelphia, I think after they had an off game, I mean, couldn't you just see them getting absolutely blitzed in this one?
Well, you're playing a little bit better of a defensive front this time around if you're going to try to move the ball at all.
We believe, by the way, around these parts, we believe in Philly. We all have the Eagles winning this game.
You know, we saw Julio Jones just demolish the Eagles secondary. Des Bryant's out. I don't think Terrence Williams and Cole Beasley are going to do what Julio Jones did.
I mean, I would be a little worried about Tony Romo. Who is your most explosive offensive teammate right now? What's the answer? Terrence Williams?
It's not great.
Yeah, I think that's the answer.
That's a bad answer.
Darren McFadden?
That's the wrong answer if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan.
Let's check in on the Monday night football game where the New York football Jets, 1-0, undefeated, baby, head to Indianapolis against the Colts. And here's an interesting game, Wes, because we've talked about this during the week, the idea that the Colts kind of cower against teams that are more physical. And I'm not saying the Jets have a reputation as like brawlers by any stretch, but I can see Todd Bowles' defense giving this team some struggles.
Look, I defend the Colts a lot here and in print. They've got to prove that they're not a pushover against physical teams. And they certainly didn't prove it last week. They have to do it this week. The Jets are physical on offense. They've got Chris Ivory. They've basically got two power forwards at wide receiver with Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall. Just post them up in the end zone and let them score. And they've got a really physical defensive front. So I think this is a huge test for the Colts.
Remember a couple of years ago when Indianapolis did seem like a physical team? They knocked out the Niners, which were a much better team back then. They beat the Seahawks as well, if I'm not mistaken. And they took care of business. And it's like, now it's like you can run against them and they can't stop the run. And that's the formula to not win your division.
This could be the most disastrous out-of-division schedule they could have, really, because they're playing the AFC East, the Patriots, who they can never beat, and three very physical teams in the Dolphins, Bills, and your Jets, who kind of have been slipping a little bit under the radar, considering how good they looked in week one.
Big win over Cleveland.
I'm saying they looked good. Ryan Fitzpatrick had, you know, only five or six quarterbacks at most had a better game than Ryan Fitzpatrick did last week.
When he gets going,
Ryan Fitzpatrick, if he didn't have that name on his back.
He had a couple errors that they didn't take advantage of.
He had a couple early, but he played about a perfect game starting midway through the second quarter. He was on fire. He's throwing passes. When he gets hot, he gets going.
Tell Greg the Slack message I sent you.
What's that?
Tell Greg the Slack message I sent you.
I think your Slack message was something along the lines of that you trust Ryan Fitzpatrick more than Peyton Manning right now.
If I had to go through the rest of the season with a quarterback between Ryan Fitzpatrick and Peyton Manning, I'm sorry, but you can do a lot more things with Ryan Fitzpatrick right now.
He was slinging it. They put him in that hurry up. He's like, ooh, I'm back in Chan Gailey's loving embrace. This guy's going to get me some more money and make my career go another 5 years.
I did a little research last week because I was taken with the idea of an old quarterback changing teams like in his mid-30s. Ryan Fitzpatrick's 32, so we can snig him under here. But almost every single year in the history of football, there's an old quarterback who changes teams and lifts that team to the playoffs. Mm.
Vinny Testaverde, 1998, Jets history, and they're going to make it again, Mark.
You might have been right about the Jets being the 10th best team.
Mark, Jets ran a four wide receiver set than any team by far last week, and I think Gailey is changing what this team does.
That is totally different. On some levels, I thought they were the same. They were like running their fullback on, you know, short.
They also had like the most running attempts, though, too. Mm. So they're very strange.
And I like this, Marcus Williams. I like that quarterback, Marcus Williams. They got a nice little player.
TD, why are the Jets 0-1 on our graphic there? They're 1-0, baby. And they're going to be 2-0 after they defeat the Colts on the road. I'm the only one that thinks that. I am an early believer and a wild homer. It's all true. All right, let's hit up our first What's More Likely. It's one of our favorite games.
What's More Likely?
All right, this is based on the games that we've talked about so far. Andrew Luck passes for fewer than 200 yards, or DeMarco Murray rushes for fewer than 50 yards. What's more likely?
That is DeMarco not a great Murray picture. Rushes for fewer than 50. Luck. What did he have, like 8 last week? He's in a timeshare with two other running backs who, to me, look much better than he does. I think he looks slow. I think it's a good possibility he's under 50.
I'll go with the same answer because also you got the Colts. Frank Gore, I want to see him play a full game. That didn't happen last week. Their backups don't look that good, and you're playing the Jets' defensive front. You're not going to be able to run the ball. You're going to have to throw.
The Jets' strength is that defensive line. They're going to put pressure on Luck. T.Y. Hilton, probably not playing. He could play, but probably not. We talked about Andre Johnson. We don't really know if he's still Andre Johnson. So I don't know if the Colts are going to bounce back and score a lot of points in this game. And I don't know if Luck's going to have a huge statistical game.
That's a good point on Johnson. I mean, Wes couldn't have been more right when he talked about it last week. It was only one game, so you just want to watch and see. But it was not good. I think the more likely answer is DeMarco Murray under 50 yards. Andrew Luck had a terrible game last week for Andrew Luck, and he's still well over 200 yards. They're going to throw it.
All right, let's now welcome into the studio the great Andrew Siciliano. Come on in, buddy.
Wait a minute, this thing's on camera? I would have worn makeup.
There he is.
Hi, guys.
Hey, listen, we hit you last week when you were on the show, Mr. Andrew Siciliano. You were like young, hot uncle look. Now you look like the young, hot uncle, but you came into some money. And you look successful.
I didn't pay for the suit, for the record.
Welcome back.
I took my makeup off. How are you guys?
What's going on?
Good. Everything's good.
We were watching you today in the Around the NFL show on NFL Network. So the synergy is outrageous right now.
We're synergistic. It's good.
So, yeah, we just went through the first four games, did a What's More Likely. Why don't we keep rolling and move forward? And do another What's More Likely.
All right, What's More Likely? What is it? What do you got?
Well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that. Listen, it's not your show anymore, Andrew.
No. I'm a passenger. I'm in the back seat. You're the Uber driver.
Let's go back to one of the early games Sunday. Early kickoff. The Arizona Cardinals head to Chicago to face the Bears. And, you know, the Bears obviously coming off a game where they fought, Andrew, they fought the Packers pretty well, got beat. The Cardinals look very good with Carson Palmer. Your first thoughts?
A couple of things. Number one, it seemed to me, did you guys get the feel from this? Maybe I heard you guys say it earlier this week, that the Bears almost seemed satisfied after the game. Not that losing is ever a good thing, right, but that everyone thought they were going to be so bad.
Right.
The fact that they were in this game for a while, which is blasphemy in Chicago, because it was against the Packers. right? Like, tell Ditka and Forrest Gregg that the Bears were just satisfied. I do think they're not going to be nearly as bad as we thought they were.
Really? You know,
I mean, I'm not putting them in the playoffs, so don't get me wrong. I had Tyrann Mathieu on the show today. Here's what I didn't realize before researching that interview. The Cardinals gave up 400 yards last week to Drew Brees and the Saints. They gave up 283 yards after the catch.
Wow.
I mean, that is
part of that's a function
hard to do.
Part of that's a function of the Saints' offense was all basically passes to the running backs. So they're all close to the line of scrimmage. That's how those plays work. But they weren't getting much downfield.
Which means, what do the Bears do? And what do they love to do?
Matt Forte.
Yeah. And that's something Matthew brought up to me today that, like, he said it four times. Matt Forte. We got to go get us some Matt Forte. But they're a different team.
Boy, Matt Forte.
Right, exactly.
Had 100 catches last year.
One of the most underrated guys in the league. And the way I look at Matt Forte to me is what Frank Gore was this year on a free agency. That's Forte next year. Imagine if he gets stuck with a bad Bears team, that's going to be a bummer. But a good team, he's going to land with a good team
next
year.
So he's going to have leg cramps next year, week one.
Well, that possibly could happen as well.
Greatest player in Tulane football history.
Who else is
that
close?
Tulane?
Ryan Griffin.
Well, Sean King was actually better.
Sean King, right, okay.
In college. Moeldy Moore had a nice little NFL career.
Mike Tannenbaum was a good tight end.
That's true. Mike Tannenbaum didn't play for the team, but he did.
Okay, that's good.
I would say, I mean, Gabe Feldman, of course, our NFL Network legal analyst, best thing to come out of Tulane.
I would say that
the Cardinals we know are the better team. If anyone's looking for a blowout here, I don't think that's this game at all. I think the Bears have a little pride at home, but I'd have a hard time against the Cardinals.
I don't know. Cutler's lost, five in a row? They haven't scored over 30 points since 2013.
It's not all Jay Cutler's fault. I never subscribe to the it all starts and ends with Jay Cutler.
I hear that, but it would be nice for once to see Cutler have that victory that we can all be like, oh, yeah, that's right. Well, that's the Cutler victory that we remember.
And you know what? I don't know how this happens. I pulled like a Sessler, like when sometimes you make picks earlier in the week and then you don't know what happened. I picked the Bears to win this game. I'm the only one amongst our group that did.
Hero pick.
And maybe it's because it used to be a hero
pick. That's what a hero pick is. If you go to NFL.com, we're keeping track.
I really think they played decent, I thought, on Sunday. And I'm not sold on the Cardinals. Wasn't in the preseason. One game against the Saints does not tell me that they're going to dominate on the road. I think the Bears are going to be frisky, and they're going to take this one. Close game.
They played decent until when? Until Jay Cutler threw a game-clenching interception.
Yeah, it's known to happen.
You can say that the quarterback's not the problem, but I would never pick the Bears in a game as long as
Jay
Cutler's
And I think I've been rooting on Carson Palmer to have just one like great season where everything works out for him. And this is the best team he's had around him since the 2005 Bengals with Hoosh and Rudy Johnson. I mean, and Carson Palmer is looking good. He's got a chance. I don't think it's going to be a great
all preseason that they're not as good as they were last
year. I'm talking about the offensive pieces around
him. Right. I want to see David Johnson get the ball. Because did we get that stat right with the speed? Our next gen stat with the chip in David Johnson's shoulder pads.
Right.
His 55-yard game-clinching touchdown when Sean Payton inexplicably punted the ball away was the fastest single run of week one. Mm. And that guy has hands like a wide receiver. That's what Daniel Jeremiah kept telling us coming out of school. So I would love to see him get more.
You are taking this synergy thing to the next level with the next
draft. Hey, we were on the path to the draft for three full months.
Gabe Feldman got a shout out minutes ago. Let's move on to the San Francisco 49ers against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And guys, you know, a very nice moment for the Niners after a trying offseason on Monday night, a really nice win against the Vikings. But this feels, I know Le'Veon Bell's not back yet, feels a little buzzsaw-y right now for San Francisco, having to go to Pittsburgh, Mark, and beat a team that already lost in week one. And we all agree that this is a very good Steelers team. Bad news, right?
Well, I mean, they're a good team on offense. Their defense, to me, looks like you could make some hay. I mean, I think if you're San Francisco, what we saw last week is you want to run the ball with some power. And Colin Kaepernick, I know there's people in here that don't like him. I thought he looked improved last week. And for me, honestly,
who are the people in here that don't like him?
What's Chris Wesley does not like him.
Okay. And I think he's hard to watch because
I think he's very hard to watch.
Yeah, Sessler is on Team Trent Dilfer.
Here's the quarterbacks I love, and here's I don't. I think that he's not in your quarterbacks I love.
The play action worked for him last week.
I thought that the whole offense looked better than it did last year. And honestly, with Pittsburgh and their secondary, I think that you can make something happen here.
Well, they benched DeMarco Thomas this week, and Will Allen's going to be at safety. Aditi told us that this today, actually.
I mean, that was the experiment we heard about all offseason.
Right.
Benched after 1 week.
Well, look, it happened in Houston, too, with the quarterback. Shamarco Thomas is just some poor kid from Syracuse trying to make a name for himself. You know, not that, not that I draw any parallels, but the on a short week, to your point about the flying to Pittsburgh spiel, I don't see it happening. I said the Niners, I said on K-Rock Monday here in L.A. that the Niners are a 4-win team, maybe a 5-win team. They certainly shut me up in game number one. I think the thing that you take from that game is they played physical football. That offensive line, which was supposed to be a mess, played reasonably well. They were by far the more physical, more prepared team. Now, the Steelers, with a little extra time to prepare for this, I just can't see Pittsburgh losing this game.
It seems blasphemous, but the Steelers are not a physical team.
They're not.
They're not in the league.
They're not.
And you gave up the best game of Deion Lewis's career. Now you've got Carlos Hyde coming in off of 170, 180 yards and looked great doing it. Powerful, decisive, has a burst there. So I think that's a huge problem. And then you've got a secondary that's just, you know, a patchwork secondary right now in Pittsburgh. So Kaepernick has a chance to have another good game.
Is one of the biggest wastes. I mean, they decided
he probably
quickly.
Plays this week.
They decided quickly that he wasn't exactly what they thought he was when he got there. I mean, there's been some whispers and all that sort of stuff. The only thing good about last week for them was Shazier and Jarvis Jones both showed up a little bit, you know, so that is something to be happy about. But this is a very similar matchup. Roethlisberger said it, similar defense in San Francisco that they have in New England, except there's a lot more talent in San Francisco. So I don't know. I think they could give them a lot of problems.
But tell me this, if it's in the fourth quarter, okay, let's say hypothetically it's a one-score game in the fourth quarter. I'm sorry, I'm taking Ben at home. Yeah. Versus Kaepernick on the road.
That's why.
And that to me is the determining factor.
I was going to say, do you pick the
49ers? Because what we talked about or what we haven't talked about is Pittsburgh's offense. And I do think that Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh is going to get the job done offensively.
This feels like a blowout.
I don't think that.
Really?
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
It would not shock me.
You guys like the Steelers' defense a lot.
I don't like him at all.
They have to be okay. I'm not sold on the Niners' offense by any stretch, and I think they're going to score 35 points.
I think Pittsburgh is going to be bottom five in the league of points given up week to week, and so there's going to be a lot of blowouts.
You're asking their offense to be great without Le'Veon Bell and Martavis Bryant. I don't think they're great right now.
Did D'Angelo not?
No, he's
not
fantastic.
Le'Veon Bell.
No, but of course he's not Le'Veon Bell.
He absolutely got the job.
And I realize the middle of that Patriots defense, especially the middle of that line, it's an Autobahn, right? So you know, what's his name? D'Angelo, I actually called what's his name D'Angelo on the air last week. Froze, and I said, and starting, because I was trying to think of the oldest running back, and I knew it wasn't Frank Gore because with the suspension, D'Angelo started, and I said, Frank Gore's not the oldest this week, what's his name? D'Angelo. Ladies love D'Angelo, by the way. Does he still make albums?
What, the Brown Sugar guy?
He had an album last year, guys.
He had an album last year.
Thank you, TD.
Okay.
It was
by
the first one in like 17
TD's
years.
We all picked the Steelers, and you were on K-Rock. I thought they just, in K-Rock in L.A., I thought they just play the Chili Peppers on loop 24-7 at all times.
Kevin and Bean.
No commercials.
Buddy, they're still killing it. Monday mornings, Kevin and Bean.
And I'm not an L.A. guy.
That's how I get
or a terrestrial radio
shows.
Guy, apparently. Yeah. All right, let's move on. The Cleveland Browns, they are at home there. Home opener against the Tennessee Titans, and of course, Marcus Mariota, Offensive Player of the Week, took the NFL by storm, beat a bad Bucs team. I said on the Sunday show, I think this Browns team, unfortunately, Mark, or maybe not Mark, we'll get into that
Mark
in a little bit.
Mark quit him, I thought.
I know, we'll get into
that's
that.
That's not accurate.
The Browns, let's get into that real quick.
I didn't like how this played out on air last week.
I called you, I have to apologize for calling you a coward.
Well,
that
listen,
was too strong. That
was
strong.
It's more complex than that, and I certainly...
We talked about this, Mark.
Yeah.
And I think what's at play here, and tell me if I'm wrong, is that this is a conscious uncoupling with the Browns after years of a relationship, a loving relationship, but it also frayed to the point where you needed to separate. And now I feel like I'm coming from the place as a Jets fan and a long-suffering fan as well, where I love both of you. I want to see you back together, and I hope it all works out. But then you got the devil on the shoulder, Wes. He wants you to play the field.
The Browns have been sneaking out at night on you. They've been stepping out. And I think it's time you tell them to, you know,
I think the Browns have let themselves go.
You're saying that.
And Mark's no longer attracted to them.
They've been leaving at, like, they're Manziel and Justin Gilbert. They've been sneaking out. Like, what?
Yes, they've been sneaking out.
They're not sexy enough to sneak out.
Yeah, who are they getting action from? This team? Seriously, on the field, what do they have?
They should have the parts for a defense. Granted, other than Carlos Dansby at linebacker, Although, what's his name? Barkevius did make a play on a tip pass over the middle last
week.
Patton also noticed that he missed a bunch of plays, too.
Barkevius Mingo, the four of us could set the edge better. We agree?
I could draft do anything on a football field.
But anyway, I hope you get back together. I love the two of you together as a couple, and I hope it happens.
But listen, you know, the world is strange. We don't know what's going to happen, but I mean,
you're still talking to each other.
We're talking. We're talking.
As
you watched the game this week.
Rosenthal,
I watched
talked
it closely.
The game. Yeah. Someone talked the game.
As you say that, Wes is texting Mark, hey, let's go meet other teams out at the Whaler today.
Hey, I think the Titans might be down in Marina Del Rey.
Let's talk about the game. The Titans, Mariota, and Greg, I'll start with you on this one. Do you expect to see another Mariota show where literally the football
Cognoscenti
starts doing backflips all around the planet?
No, I think Mike Pettine will have a plan to make him struggle a little bit, show him some different things. I mean, he's not going to play such a vanilla, poorly talented defense as Tampa Bay this week, and it'll be a tougher game for him. I still like the Titans better as a team in general, and I think if they can go get this win out there, I think it's time to start thinking, you know, team of ATL. Let's not wait until they're 5-1 or anything. Let's do it early.
I'm still a Niners guy.
Let's remember something.
Okay.
This Niners Browns team gave up 28 points to last year's Titans. All right, with Clipboard Jesus running the operation. So now you have Mariota coming in, and I have to ask, how are the Browns better this season than last? You don't have anything going on at tight end, and as Greg and I were talking about, you're throwing balls to Jim Dre and Gary Barnidge.
It was a huge part of their game plan.
It's too
Barnidge,
much of a part of
Hausler, and Dre, and I'm thinking, this isn't going to work.
Their offensive line, which we thought was top five, one of the best in the league, was manhandled by the Jets. Their running backs couldn't get anything going, so they need to be a completely different team than what we saw last week.
I think a couple of things. Number one, when McCown got hurt, they, I hate to say, you throw the whole game plan out, but obviously everything changed. You had a quarterback that had not really practiced for 2 weeks with his mystery sore elbow. You throw him into it. He throws the touchdown pass to Benjamin. Yay, everyone's happy. They're going to be okay, but clearly they're not. The Jets brought the pressure. They shut the run game down. They have no one with separation. Even if Dwayne Bowe had played, no one's getting separation. You have a bunch of wide receivers, Greg, that are my size and your size on that team. And Taylor Gabriel can make some plays, but when you're dropping, fourth down outs when you have the yardage, that's not inspiring confidence for anybody. You guys are overlooking the Terrence West comes home factor.
Revenge.
There will be signs and there may be a parade. The Browns will play better. I think the biggest condemnation of what Manziel did last week, and again, he did show signs of improvement.
He did. He absolutely did.
Not enough to say, I'm ready to give you the keys. And Mike Pettine made that clear today when he said that if McCown is cleared on Friday to practice and he gets through practice without any headaches, he's going to start.
Right.
Well, with Manziel's
not healthy.
Manziel had three straight turnovers.
Three straight turnovers. By the way, not to make excuses here. He's got to protect the ball better. But there's one where he scrambles for 25 yards. They call it back on an Alex Mack hold. There was a blatant forearm to the helmet there on the slide. He went feet first. It was a missed call. You saw it, right, Wes?
Yeah.
It was a missed call. You throw that flag. There's no turnover. They're across midfield. It's not as lopsided. They still lose the game.
Great.
Okay? But he still fumbled on the next
play. Both these quarterbacks are going to play a lot this year because if RG3 is the most careless quarterback in the NFL with his body, McCown and Manziel are 2 and 3. Mm.
Absolutely. Mm. And Manziel's not big enough to protect the look. He could protect the football, but he is so small.
He's tiny.
He's tiny.
Yeah.
And for anyone who's ever stood on the field next to him, he's not a big dude at all. So when he does take that hit, that ball's coming out.
The one thing, though, McCown, that first drive against the Jets, 17 plays, ate up about 10 minutes off the clock. That's what they wanted to do.
And that's what they did in the preseason a couple of times, too. Huge.
Against the Bucks.
But he also took two massive shots in that one drive. So it's like,
which he's always done this.
He's never done it. Right.
A lot of passionate talk about the Browns. I'm
not
just saying.
One last point. The Bucks game, the preseason game, right? McCown took three massive hits in that preseason game.
I thought the same thing.
Massive.
I was off the McCown train about then.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't take care of his body.
That was one of the worst shots I've seen. The shot that he got knocked out on in week one was a nasty headshot he took.
Well, Pettine said to him, because they were going to have the Bears in the fourth and final preseason game, and they were asked after the game, hey, will you play your starters next week? Maybe, I don't know yet. Will you play Pettine? No way. Why? I'm sorry, will you play McCown? Well, because today he was playing one of his former teams, and he tried to go superhero, and I'm paraphrasing. There's no way I'm playing him against one of his other former teams next week.
All right, let's move on.
One
we all took
thing
the Titans.
The Titans.
Yes.
All this Mariota talk, Kendall Wright is going to be Randall Cobb in this offense.
He looked amazing.
He's been underutilized because their quarterbacks have been so bad for the past couple of years. Mm. He's going to be Randall Cobb for them.
Browns win this game.
Saucy.
Wow. Wow. That'd be a hero pick if he was in the pick.
If we had hero
picks. We're talking about two teams that one of them picked number two overall.
One
and
of them
the other
won two games last year.
Yeah, I mean, so this is not a radical concept.
All right, let's move on. The St. Louis Rams, fresh up beating the Seattle Seahawks, travel to Washington to face the Redskins. Andrew, this is a game where we want to see Nick Foles and St. Louis Rams roll up some wins, especially against teams they can beat before we take them seriously. Mm-hmm. This team has been always around 500. How about a fast start so people get excited about the Rams?
They were 1-3, I believe, in three of the last 4 years.
Not going to do it.
So this is as big a win as that was for this team last week. And it was massive. This is the real test because it's a road game. It's a game against a team where on paper you have more talent. You should win this game. And everyone wants to jump on the Rams bandwagon now because of what they did last week. Deservedly so.
Greg's driving that thing.
Now go on the road.
I'm excited. If I was any more excited, I would have to go to the hospital or something.
Go on the road and win this game. Jeff Fisher has said he is not going to troll the Redskins with his captains. He is going to go out there with his traditional captains. And we see if they can get after the Kirk Cousins. By the way, he was not.
He was trolling.
Okay, but so to me, it was him backing up his good friend Mike Shanahan.
Okay.
That's what that was. Okay. That was him saying,
fine, I liked it.
You fired Mike Shanahan. Would you have fired him if he had all this? Mm. I think that's what that was.
That's the only reason that deal went down.
Michael right. Brockers, I mean, if people don't know, he sent out all his captains last time that came in.
Brockers and Ogletree and Stedman Bailey. And
those guys aren't necessarily superstars, but they're a big factor.
Wes, you took the Redskins to win this game. I like that. Saucy.
They played pretty tough against the Dolphins.
Does that speak to the Dolphins or the Redskins?
I think the Redskins' defensive front is much improved from last year. Their defensive line shut Lamar Miller down in the first half, and I think their linebackers played pretty well, too. I think their defense is much improved, and I think Kirk Cousins will make mistakes but can move an offense. We've seen it in almost every start he's made, that he will move an offense better than RG3 did the last 2 years.
And when he does at least, 1.2, how many turnovers a game? Then the Rams have to capitalize, yeah.
He's going to turn the ball over.
That's where Detective Frank Signetti, PI, is on the case.
Who called a good game last week.
He called a great game.
He called a good game.
He was creative. He basically schemed to get wide receivers open for Nick Foles throughout the game.
All I could think was they lose that game with Brian Schottenheimer.
I liked Benny Cunningham in that game.
I don't think you see him much in this game.
In a spot start, in a spot play, 122 total yards, and I thought he looked faster than I realized.
You know, the crazy thing about him, too, overlooked. He led the NFC in kickoff returns last year. That guy's a snowplow. He doesn't move left or right. He just moves forward.
Yeah.
And yet he averaged 27 point whatever a kickoff return last year. I think you could see
it's a great asset for a kick returner just moving forward.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Back doing that because I think Trey Mason starts this game.
How about behind the glass, another game of What's More Likely?
Mm. Shortly. We'll have another game of What's More Likely. We're getting that ready. But you guys can keep talking.
We're ready to go. That's a look behind the glass.
I'll take the Rams,
will
by
be
the
ready
way.
For this segment?
Who did we all take in this?
I'm taking the Rams.
I'll tell you. Andrew's taking the Rams, as did Mark, Dan, Connor.
Everyone did.
Patra also took the Redskins.
Patra ruining my hero pick.
Well, there are no
heroes. Oh, if there were.
By the way, just so you know, Andrew, we used to have this fun game called Hero Picks where if only one of us picked a game, picked a team in a matchup, you would have to defend your hero. We had a nice little fun sound drop.
I like the old NBC show, Hero, like with that little dude in the promo.
Yeah, little guy, we brought him in here a couple times. But then for some reason, and he still hasn't explained himself.
That's not true.
Greg no longer does picks. And he will. I think before we bring back.
Seinfeld, I choose not to run?
Yes.
I'm not against Greg bringing back the hero picks.
You got to bring back the hero picks.
I think we all deserve an explanation once and for all.
Are you above
why
it?
Why you quit?
Are you above
I'm
it?
I'm not above it. It was causing me more. It was making me enjoy the games on Sunday less. And that is basically admitting my own craziness, but I don't care. I decided well into the season. There was a few factors. You know, I start rooting for the teams you pick for instead of just rooting for the teams you want to root for or just enjoying the games. Also, you know, there was a lot of, you know, backroom stuff. Sometimes people, oh, well, he changed his pick late. A lot of you know.
Wow. Why did you care so much?
The tables on you.
Well, it was.
No, well, I don't know.
I'm getting texts on Christmas Eve. Hey, this guy changed his pick.
It's not
leave me alone.
That part of it.
Leave me alone.
What does that have to do with anything? Why would you?
Like,
why would you quit picks?
You know what? I respect his answer. You know why? Because it's the artificial.
That makes one of us.
Artificial anxiety, right?
Yeah.
It's what you don't like creating.
It's a mania.
Well, look.
Sounds like a weakness.
It's totally a weakness.
People know that I'm a Browns fan deep down inside. That's why I was raised. It wears off over the years when you see how the sausage is made.
You just stepped on
what's
more likely.
Now we know the answer. I was raised a Browns fan. Oh, is that one of the questions?
Wow. Tini, do you ready?
Tini, can we please do the what's more likely?
My point is that when you, like, with fantasy, you're picking games, you're creating this artificial anxiety where I sit in front of my TV.
That's true.
Or stand in front of my TV.
I love football.
Isn't that fantasy football in a nutshell?
I want to just enjoy it, watch the games, root for what I want to root for.
How much more filibustering do we need here, Tini?
Tini, let's do it!
Guys, we can go ahead and do it. We don't have our artwork because now
who
that's
needs
fine.
Artwork.
Let's go. Yeah, go ahead.
Let's go ahead and do it, guys. Who needs any artwork? Let's roll.
All right, Andrew.
Okay. Yes.
What's more likely? Andrew publicly reveals his Browns love, or Mark returns to the fold?
I think we got our answer.
Because I already did it. I'm not afraid to admit it. Look, we all grew up as fans of it.
Okay,
team.
I didn't know if you advertised it.
No, I don't advertise it per se. I do a weekly radio thing in Cleveland, you know, on the phone on their flagship station, so they know it there, and they advertise it. I mean, not like sell ads, but I mean, they say it there. I don't mind saying it. I was raised outside Washington, D.C., but my father's from Cleveland, so he corrupted my brother and me. My brother's a Brown season ticket holder. Mm. He flies from Dulles to Cleveland.
Wow.
Not eight times. That's insane.
Right.
But he does a couple. He'll be there this week.
As insane as Greg quitting on us on his pickies?
No, he didn't just quit on the picks. He quit on us.
I didn't quit on anything.
That's important.
You guys should be happy. I'm giving you someone else a chance to win one of those.
I was dumb enough to pick the Browns. No family. I can't blame a family member. I picked them out of the blue on my own in sixth grade.
You are on.
But I'm doing Cleveland radio tomorrow, too. So you know what?
What's that?
This race is tighter than you thought.
So you're back in.
I didn't say anything. I just said it's a tight race.
Oh, he's this is back like, in. Hey, by the way, he's not writing any film room think pieces on the Rams quarterback. He's doing it on Johnny Manziel on his day off.
You doing this radio, this is the equivalent of you having an all-night phone call with the Browns. Like, on the phone for hours.
Wait a minute. He's
sexting the Browns.
But it also brings out good work. I'm going to defend you here. His piece on Mike Pettine in training camp.
It's terrific.
Fantastic. Sir,
Johnny Manziel piece this week. I recommend everyone check it out. ATL Film Room. It was good stuff.
It's not like it's the only film thing I'll do all year. I mean, maybe.
Here's what else to check out. Around the NFL on NFL Network, 6 p.m. Eastern, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. a.m.
Two Eastern. So close. 2 Eastern, 11 Pacific on Thursdays on game day. And my film piece will be the Browns triple overtime victory over Pat Ryan and the Jets.
Oh.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, that I like.
I just made that up, but it is still in my DVR.
You can find that on YouTube, too. That is a good watch.
The game, the entire NFL Films piece that we ran here like 7 years ago is still in my DVR.
Wow. And I don't like talking about Jets playoff losses or anything like that. Is that the Gastineau game you're talking about?
Yes.
The Gastineau personal foul game on fourth down.
Yeah. Woohoo! But also you have the Red Zone on DirecTV.
Red Zone on DirecTV.
Andrew's everywhere.
Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Thank you. Nice. 7:03.
Thank you.
All right. So that's it. Andrew Siciliano, thank you for joining us. I have a feeling you'll be back soon.
I'll wear makeup next time.
All right, men, let's keep rolling on, and let's start now in the Meadowlands with the New York Giants coming off really one of the more crushing losses in the regular season that you could remember, at least in terms of week one against the Cowboys. Now they get the Falcons coming into their building, and the Falcons under Dan Quinn, your boy Mark Sessler, squeak out a win over the Eagles. Will they do it again to the NFC East?
I don't have any doubt.
Mm.
Whoa!
They're going to crush them, and I had to make a bold prediction because you have to do 12 of these if you work here. A week, and
we did one.
Well, whatever. But I just my bold prediction for this game was 3 touchdowns and 250 plus yards for Julio Jones. He's going to fry this defense.
That would be a
that's bold.
He's done it before. He had 259 against the Packers last year.
It's like the overreaction bowl.
coach of the year versus worst coach of the century.
It's true. We are all leaning towards like, wow, it'd be surprising if that 0-1 team beat the 1-0 team. But Andrew's point about Browns Titans, like those are two pretty equal teams on paper. These are probably two pretty equal teams. But in the long run, I think Matt Ryan's a much better quarterback than Eli Manning. And I think the Falcons defense should be better because, you know, they got better defensive coaching. I'll leave it at that.
We do trust that New York can keep in a shootout, though. I think their offense can score points against this team.
Am I the only one that saw that the Falcons had no business winning that game?
They had business winning.
They absolutely should have lost that game.
They played great for the first half. Well, you talk about the minutiae at the end of the game, but they absolutely scored points
on Philly. Great two quarters. If they played that game 10 times, the Eagles would have won that game 9 times. So I'm not ready to say, ooh, the Dan Quinn era is off and running, and now they're going to roll over a team on the road or the Falcons historically did not play well.
Nothing to do with Dan Quinn. If you have Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, you're going to be in a lot of games.
Oh, sure.
You shouldn't be in otherwise.
They've been a bad team with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones playing together as well, and I think I don't think this is a great team, and I think the Giants are okay, but I think they'll take care of business, especially after a bad loss. I think the Giants get to 1-1.
That's fair, dog.
That's fair, dog.
Is Julio Jones even the best wide receiver in this game?
Not according to Wes.
Not in your world, no, but in my world, yes.
Two of my favorite players in the league.
Well, one of the reasons I didn't put Odell Beckham in my top 5 or 6, which you found blasphemous over the offseason, is just, okay, let's see how he does it the next time around when teams are adjusting to him. We've seen how Julio Jones does that, and he does it at a Hall of Fame level. Right now, we have to see more of Odell Beckham. It was only 1 week, but that's what I want to see. And this is a great matchup against Desmond Trufant, one of the best young cornerbacks in the league.
And to your point in your prediction that you think Julio has a massive game, you got to think that Julio and Odell on some level can balance each other out. So I don't think it's even
an
advantage.
I think that New York can hang in a shootout, number one. I'm not talking 41-7. I could see this being 35-30 kind of deal.
I mean, the Falcons are at a point. Any road win is a magical thing. I mean,
wait, Mark, you picked the Giants.
2-0.
Did I?
Oh, no.
Now, here's the problem.
It's our favorite running game.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem with they make us make these picks.
Like, they?
They make 3 weeks ago. I'll make your pick.
How do you pick the Giants?
I have no memory.
It was literally last night.
Well, then you know what? I'll tell you what. I'm going to change it. I'm going to change it and take the Falcons because that's
how
my heart is.
Picks because you change it all the time.
To publish it on the site at 6 a.m. And I'm here. I don't even know what's happening.
Wait, so what changed between then and now?
We should get this.
I think that the Falcons are going to win this game.
TD, can you get this sponsored? Mark's Teva flip-flop of the week.
Well, no. Greg, how about this? Greg can't do picks because it's too stressful for him and it brings up too many demons. It's not the case for me. I'll do them. I just don't remember what happened, and I'm sitting second to last place for a reason.
Greg, Mark is making a point. He doesn't love doing this, but he does it because it's part of his job. Why do you, just because you're the boss? You pulled the boss card, which you don't usually do.
I don't pull any boss card. I'm pulling a life card. I mean, who's going to make me not do it? It doesn't matter.
I'm talking to shadowy league figures to make you do this.
This is ridiculous. I took the Giants. Me and Wes, listen, this sandwich wager that you and I have about who's going to win, we pick the same teams every week. We both won 11-5.
Not on purpose.
So cute.
Yeah, it's adorable.
You don't like our fist bump.
Huh?
But you don't like our fist bump.
Two fist bumps in one podcast. That's
Patra and Orr both took the Falcons. I don't think they're going to flip-flop. So you're going to join them.
Well, I don't like that operation, but I'll do it because I said I don't know who I am. I'll do whatever you want me to do. You tell me who to pick.
Did anybody see the New York Daily News photo of JPP's hand, by the way?
Yes.
What do you believe
Grizzly.
In?
I believe
you
that
couldn't
the Falcons...
have been more. You couldn't have been more strong about the Falcons to start this.
That's that was stunning. That one.
It was honestly the most decisive you've ever been about anything in your life, and now it's already turned around 2 minutes later.
JPP's hand.
It's week two.
I'm going to print out a photo of JPP's hand and give it to my son, Sweet Jack, every 4th of July. And from the time he's like 11 until he's 24.
That should do the trick.
Don't be like this guy.
He'll be on his psychiatrist chair later on. He always made me.
There will be other problems, but it won't be a fireworks.
I just wanted to be happy.
Wasn't that a gag on Arrested Development?
I'm a monster. All right, let's move on. The Houston Texans head to Charlotte to face the Panthers. The Texans already have a new starting quarterback, which is really absurd if you take a step back from the minutiae of the day-to-day NFL, that they went through an entire offseason program and named a starter in a big hullabaloo and then turned around and changed their mind and made mouth the guy. I don't know if you could really disagree with them. They go against Cam Newton and the Panthers. Mark, I might as well hit on this too. You had a little bit of an issue with Josh Norman off a bold prediction last week. There are a couple of headlines. I did a Google search. Mark Sessler plus Josh Norman. First of all, tell us why this happened.
Well, because, you know, it was another one of these bold predictions. Go write your big prediction. And I said that you know, Blake Bortles week one would come out and have his way with Carolina.
And you were wrong.
I was very
wrong. It happens. Two headlines that were found on the internet. Josh Norman goes off on Mark Sessler. Headline.
Really?
Also,
what website is this?
And this one's weird. That was a fan blog. Nobody like CarolinaBlitz.com or something. And then some fan forum. Josh Norman tells NFL.com's Mark Sessler the rules and regulations. I didn't even read it, but what does that mean?
Well, it is. He wrote me after the game, basically, on Twitter and said, how about you sit down? Like, you know, he basically told me, you
whatever,
know,
Josh Norman.
He doesn't have to do these hot picks of the week every
week. Well, here's
week.
The thing. So I went, and hundreds of Panthers fans are retweeting it. You know, I finally started blocking people like Wes. It was
nice.
Wonderful.
That's
but, you know, I went back and I said, I went back and watched his tape, every one of his snaps. He played a great game. So I tweeted back and I said, look, I'm not going to explain to him how it operates on our side.
You handled it well.
I wrote him back and said, you played a great game. I explained what plays I thought he did.
Was he respectful enough to reply to you?
He retweeted that with a little thumbs up.
Oh, okay.
So we're in a good place.
What is up with the Panthers fans? Because remember, I got buried back in January for calling Cam Newton insufferable on the sideline, and I was branded a racist or something, and I was all over blogs then.
They came at me a couple weeks ago when I said after first preseason game,
calm down, Panthers
all this
fans.
Talk about Cam Newton fixing his footwork is garbage. He's throwing the same way he did last year.
He is very much the same player that he's always been, and I'm a big supporter in that. But nothing's changed, and he is their best short yardage runner. And I couldn't help but notice last year. You remember the evolution of Cam? It's like, we're not going to have him like putting his body at risk anymore. Every time it's 3rd and 2, he is going up the middle now. I mean, they've given up trying to change that. He's just going to be that guy, and that's what he's good at.
What do we think about
Mark, those are known as emojis, not thumbs up pictures?
All right. I know what an emoji is.
Aria Millennial corrects Mark. What do we think about Ryan Mallett's chances against the Carolina defense, which flummoxed Blake Bortles and the Jacksonville
Don't
Tigers?
Don't ask me.
I'd like to know if Lee Kuechly and Star Lotulelei were playing.
Yeah, we Kuechly's got a concussion. What's going on with Star?
He didn't play in the first game, and I believe he's questionable this week.
Yeah, so what, a foot injury?
I mean, Mallett
some
showed
kind of
off
leg
some,
malady.
Some serious gas. This would be the game if you could just have a contest. This is the best game possible of two quarterbacks standing flat-footed trying to throw the ball the farthest. Cam Newton and Ryan Mallett. They are the two guys that I would take in that contest.
I would rather watch that. Probably.
Mallett's got a hose.
I don't buy that Mallett, like what he did against the Chiefs, because it was just sort of garbage time. And honestly, yeah. Bill O'Brien, and I coming off of Hard Knocks, I really like Bill O'Brien, but he has been touted as a quarterback whisperer, a quarterback guru, and he has two bad quarterbacks, and we're going to see them again 100 times.
I'm starting to think the worst thing that could happen is to be called a quarterback whisperer.
Yeah.
It's fair.
It's like a curse.
Hold on. If Mallett's so great, why did Bill O'Brien pick Hoyer over him?
Why? What are you going to do?
That's a good question.
I wanted to know if you're assigned to this game or any,
oh God, I hope not.
Well, any Texans game.
You got to give it to him
soon.
Now.
You have a public rule, the Jonathan Grimes rule. That's your preseason rule. Once Grimes is in there,
I'm out.
You're checking out. I don't know if you saw, Grimes was in like the first or second series.
He had a nice run, too.
He played pretty much throughout the game. It's a regular season game. You're a professional who takes his job seriously. What do you do?
You just follow the bullet and watch the game.
Okay.
Well, there is a minor chance that Arian Foster plays in this
no,
game.
No, I don't think so.
Did he rule it out?
He returned to practice, but it was really just to get his feet wet from what I
thought O'Brien said, you know, who knows. But O'Brien earlier in the week said no. But
All right. So, Mark, who did you take in this game? Just quizzing you.
In this game, I know I took the Panthers.
You're correct, as did I and Wes and Connor and Patrick took the Texans. So there
By
you
the
go.
By the way, Ted Ginn, catch the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Give me a break, dropping a touchdown.
We know what's happening now.
Well, that's the thing. They have Ted Ginn running red zone routes for them, and that's just, there's nothing they can do because they don't have the right players on their team. But when he is running like in breaking routes in the red zone, Ted Ginn's not going to catch
them. He's going to get blown up on the spot.
Let's check out the favorite division of football fans everywhere, the NFC South, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after a humiliating loss to Marcus Mariota and the Titans now travel to the Superdome to face the Saints, who couldn't hang with the Cardinals in week one. So two teams seeking to avoid Greg an 0-2 start. You are a Tulane graduate. You have a sneaky Saints fixation. Your thoughts?
Well, their secondary, whatever can go wrong is going wrong. They've now lost Raphael Bush, their safety for the season. It was as bad a secondary or questionable a secondary as you could imagine, and now they've lost two or three key pieces. So If ever Jameis Winston was going to get off the schneid, have a nice bounce back game, this Saints team did not rush the passer at all last week, and they have a bad secondary. This would be the week.
We used to talk about the Saints team and break down their home stats versus their away stats and how unbeatable they were in the dome. They lost five straight.
That's
at home.
Gone now.
I mean, that is gone. That whole team, that team that we used to talk about, is gone in many respects.
This Saints team, though, I didn't think looked bad last week. They played the Cardinals very even. I watched that game and thought, these are two 9-7 type of teams that look very even, and the only difference really was the red zone. You know, the Cardinals cashed in when they were in the red zone, and the Saints didn't.
My big takeaway from the Saints game is that they don't trust their wide receivers. That Marcus Colston, again, looks old.
What about Willie Snead?
Willie Snead had one play for 63 yards, didn't do anything else. Brandon Coleman, they didn't like throwing to him that much. And Patrick Peterson, except for one 30-yard perfectly placed over the shoulder connection from Breeze to Cooks, Patrick Peterson shut Cooks down. And I think Cooks is going to have issues with bigger cornerbacks like that, but they ran almost everything through their running backs.
I think they're going to keep doing that.
Yeah.
And they're getting C.J. Spiller back this week, so you got Spiller, Ingram, and Robinson.
Maybe.
Spiller had a message. We think C.J. Spiller will be back this week. He said, I ain't into surprises. I don't surprise nobody. I want you to see me coming full speed. It ain't Halloween, baby. Trick or treat. I'm coming full speed at you. Trust me. You know when I'll
play.
So he's been doing MDMA, basically.
I think bad news.
What is he talking about?
Bad news for Ingram fantasy owners. Spiller's getting all those screens and wheel routes once he gets out.
How about Jarris Byrd arriving to save the day in the Saints secondary?
Well, I'll believe it when I see it.
Jairus Byrd.
You just wanted
to. Jairus.
Hey, Wes knows what I'm doing. Wes knows what the old Zeuser's up to.
You know what I'm up to?
What?
What's more likely?
That's what I call a transition.
Are we? Is that where we are?
Let's just do it.
We're not there yet.
Premature transition.
He was so on fire.
Oh, no.
All right. Oh, well. We got one more game before we get to that, Wes. But that was nice. The San Diego Chargers, 1-0. Really nice comeback win over the Lions in week one. Face the Bengals, who look great against a putrid Raiders team. So they have their home opener now. Wes, and I'll start with you on this because, listen, I'm not going to go crazy about that offense looking awesome against the Raiders. Even if they jumped out to a 33-0 lead, the defense looked good too. But if they take care of business against a good Chargers team, then maybe they get out to, like, maybe they win next week too. Where are you at on the P scale when it comes to Westivus, your favorite holiday by which the Cincinnati Bengals fail in the first round of the playoffs? You drink
it happens every year, and I
alcohol.
Count on it. Yeah. Copious alcohol, and I count on this as one of my favorite weekends of the year because you know the Bengals are going to lose. Or you used to know.
I was gonna say. So if zero is your pants are totally dry, you got your pants on, your underpants, and you wouldn't be nervous being out in public. 10, your underpants are soaked. You got to go get some new underpants. Even your pants have been compromised. You got to put them in the wash or throw them out. Where are you fitting in?
You're potty training some kids. You're saying, oh, just try to hold that pee while you sleep for 12 straight hours overnight. See how that works out for you, kid. How do kids even learn that? I don't understand.
I'm asking Wes a question, Greg. Where are you on the scale?
Well, he's just laughing.
I'm at an honest 7 right now.
Whoa!
You know, and I know it's only one game against the Raiders, but this is more about the Ravens and the Steelers. The Bengals, clearly to me, I don't know why we slept on them in the preseason and all of our predictions. The Bengals have, what are the holes on their roster? The Ravens have huge
quarterback.
All right, that's fair. The Ravens have no playmakers on offense. And the Steelers don't have a defense. The Bengals, to me, are a much more well-rounded, solid team.
I'll tell you what happened. Andy Dalton not being a favorite of this group has, on some levels, blinded us a little bit.
Or?
Because he's not terrible. He's okay.
Well,
he's the middle
right,
of the room.
Right,
he's
right.
Okay in games where they don't matter.
That's right. He's done this before.
If it's not on national TV
though.
Or in the playoffs, he'll be
yes,
fine.
But to say these games don't matter is wrong, too.
All right.
This team could easily win 11 games, and he could thrive statistically with this team. I don't know what happens
in January. By the way, none of us are going to say Andy Dalton can't do that because that's what's been happening. And statistically, he's had some good seasons. Much better than some quarterbacks.
Right, but none of us picked them to make the playoffs.
But what you guys are forgetting is Westivus isn't the only holiday. There's a new holiday every week one. It's called Raiders Shoshana. Work with me. Raiders play
with
a team.
You.
And you think, oh, you start thinking about the team they played in week one very differently.
Did the Jets play last them
last year?
Year
Jets, Raiders, week one. We all put them in the playoffs after this game. This year on Raiders, Shoshana, I don't know. I might have to work on that.
Now you do. It's not bad, though.
I tried for something.
Workshop that.
Suddenly, it's got Wes thinking the Bengals are
Dalton's
so great. They
go,
just play the Raiders.
Again, that's like it. I said, more about the Ravens and Steelers. And frankly, who's the dominant team in the AFC?
No, there isn't right. The Patriots. That's changing. You're right.
There isn't one, unless the Patriots get a secondary or Tyrod Taylor is for real.
And if the Steelers defense, they put it together at some point during the season.
That's not happening.
Dalton is like three very acceptable games, then an absolute abject disaster where we're like, oh, wait, what are we talking about? He stinks. And it's happened to fall every January. Maybe you get a different one this January. You can still go drink. You just won't get the same result.
Wes is going to drink either way.
Well, isn't this a week we learn a lot about him? Because they're going up a secondary. We've been talking up
a lot. You've been honking about the Chargers secondary.
I didn't say it in the offseason. They look good. They look good last week. Jason Verrett, Brandon Flowers. You got Eric Weddle. This is a tough matchup for Dalton and everyone. I think they're the best-looking cornerback group. Well, actually, Stephon Gilmore and Ronald Darby had about a great
You know what
week.
I want to
see? That
was
1 week.
I want to see what Keenan Allen does for an encore.
Oh, my God.
15 for 166 in the opener. He's got a nice challenge here. How about this? Over under time, Greg. Keenan Allen, 8 catches.
I'm sorry. I'm not doing over unders this year. I'm going under. I'm going under. It's a joke.
8 receptions under 80 yards.
I'll go over.
1 touchdown.
Can I have a big play?
I'll go push.
6 for 90.
All he does is run crossing routes all game.
6 for 90.
All right, we all...
Hold on. Yes. Do you mind if I give a little love to our friend Daniel Jeremiah of Move the Sticks?
All right, go ahead.
He pointed out a few weeks ago, preseason gem, Kyle Emanuel, 5th-round pick for the Chargers. Sneaky defensive rookie of the year candidate as a 5th-round pick. Mm. Had an interception and sack in the opener and had two sacks in the preseason. This guy's starting for them and looks good.
Well, by the way, talk about a turnaround. We all took the Bengals. So all of a sudden, we're all in on the Bengals. Let's keep moving.
Hold on. What's more likely?
What's more likely?
Wes, now you stepped on the transition.
I got to leave the transitions to you.
Listen, you had a promising previous show. This one's been rocky, a little up and down, but I still believe in you. Go ahead.
That was hubris on my end. What's more likely? Julio Jones is held under 100 yards. Or Odell Beckham Jr. goes over 100 yards.
Oh, I know what I think.
Well, you said 250 yards. For
Odell is going over 100 on this defense.
Odell is?
Yes. Julio Jones is not going to be held under 100. No way.
Well, you got to pick one or the other. You picked both.
You picked Julio Jones as more getting
likely.
250
more
yards.
Likely, much more likely that Odell gets over 100.
Gotcha.
You just said Julio Jones is going to have 250 yards.
It said under for Julio.
What's more likely?
I know.
So it's much less likely.
Mark's on target here. Exactly. Mark has got it. He's okay.
The boss is losing his mind. He's not making picks. He's all over the map.
ODB, by the way, after being really shut down against the Cowboys, I was stunned by that. He's going to go off in this game. This is going to be 174 yards, 9 catch, 2 touchdown, vintage 2014 ODB. That's more likely.
I think it's more likely that Julio Jones is under 100 yards. I mean, he's under 100 yards half the games he's ever played, if not more, I would guess.
The pragmatist Joe.
He's going up against Prince Amukamara and Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie. The only good things about that defense, I'm just saying it's more likely.
It's not, though, because what Odell Beckham, has he been
over
100 yards?
Odell Beckham's over 100 almost every game.
I think Odell Beckham will be fine in his life, in his career, and this week against the Falcons.
So
I think he'll be fine.
Picking both.
No, I totally messed it up
tricky.
Before. You're right. It is confusing. Whoever wrote it. It's more likely Julio's going under.
All right. There we go. Let's move on now to our last three games of our preview special, our endless preview special. The Detroit Lions head to Minnesota to face off against the Vikings. And, here's a game where the Detroit Lions, and I want to see Matthew Stafford, how he looks in this game. That was one of the games I covered on Sunday where he didn't look the same after he got hit on the elbow. He says he's fine.
Because Melvin Ingram knocked him out.
Yeah, it was a nasty shot. And the Vikings, now this is a big game for the Vikings because they went from everybody's darling of the offseason, laying an egg on Monday night. Okay, that's fine. That could happen. But if you don't take care of business at home in week two, we might all have this wrong.
Well, it's a big game for both teams. This is an 11-win team from a year ago. This is the best you know, they're coming off the best Detroit Lions season in, what, 25 years? Something crazy like that. So they need to get a win in the division. It's a very intriguing game. And I want to see if Adrian Peterson, the Adrian Peterson we know, with a guy, you know, maybe get more than 10 touches, shows up in this game.
I know that we like to talk about the early season, like everything changes. It don't take too much stock in it. But the numbers for 0-2 teams getting into the playoffs are rough. And if you start in this division 0-2, and one of those is against a division opponent, you got your back against the wall. And Minnesota, absolutely. I thought Teddy Bridgewater, you cannot start the season the way he did against San Francisco after all the hype. He's high up in our making the leap. You got to bounce back this week. But Detroit is a good defense.
It's a good matchup because DeAndre Levy hasn't played this week. He hasn't practiced this week. And last week, Phil Rivers had basically one of the greatest games of all time for throwing three-yard passes. He set records for – he had the most yards in the league and the fewest yards in the air per pass. It was just all crossing routes to Keenan Allen, screens to Stevie Johnson, and the middle of the defense was wide open without DeAndre Levy.
Are we a little – you say the Lions have a good defense. They had a very good defense last year. But that was a troubling week one by that defense, and they obviously weren't able to scheme and game plan to find a way to shut that off.
That was a tale of two halves. They were a dominant defense in the first half, and then in that heat with Phillip Rivers throwing short passes.
Rivers took him down the field at the end of the first half, too, and threw a bad pass to bail out the Lions.
Well, they picked – the Lions picked it off. You got to give them credit for that.
So you're not giving up on the Lions.
I'm not giving up on the Lions. Basically, two of the top 10 defensive players in the league were Ndamukong Suh and DeAndre Levy. They didn't have either of them in the first game. So let's see if they get Levy back.
Who would you rather have calling plays for you? Mike McCoy, Norv Turner?
Norv Turner.
Mike McCoy, I think this guy has proven to be a great play caller.
I think they're both great.
I mean, it's Frank Reich, too. It's Phillip Rivers. That's the main guy.
You know why? Because Peyton Manning's not done. He's playing quarterback for the Chargers.
What?
Phillip Rivers is doing his Peyton Manning impression.
Interesting.
Frank Reich love.
You want to know who picked who here?
I don't really care.
Well, no, you don't care.
I would take the Lions.
I don't care.
When I'm looking at these, I think, well, that's who I would take.
Wes, you have a hero pick. No, sorry, you don't. You would have had a hero pick. You took the Lions. The rest of us think the Vikings are going to get on track at home.
The fan consensus weekly pick'em also takes the Lions. A rare hero pick with the fan consensus. By the way, we have a league out there around the NFL, and you can compete against the other five guys.
Greg.
And probably beat me. I'm 1-0.
Stay out of it, man.
Yeah, I'm just saying. They should join the league.
What do you mean you're 1-0? You don't even pick games.
I had to just for it to show up so I could help out. I had to pick one game.
Make up your mind.
Speaking of the Lions, and more specifically, Kevin Patrick coming at you, this tweet from Patra, if you're watching on YouTube. Yo, at Dan Hansis, looky what I spent my day off building. # in-season workouts. # no excuses. # cliche. # And then the photo is in what looks like some type of Chicago apartment.
That's
project. It is a multiple
he doesn't live in the project.
Dumbbells. He has what appears to be a rack where you can do bench press. Is that what that is?
What is so Patra's view from his window is just like a 1970s tenement.
Is that a bench press rack?
I kind of miss
it. It is. It's an impressive setup. The point being, Patra, who I have loved. What was that? That's a pull-up bar. There's a lot cooking there. The point is, I have long been on record that Patra's body is sick. Great torso and everything. It's only going to get better with this.
# no days off, baby. No days off.
I like that he's doing
Patrick
it, too.
Patrick basically pulled a TD and put his workouts on social media.
Right. And he's also gonna put it out there for the thousands of people that can see into his window. You know, he's just going to put up the blind.
Oh, completely.
Hey, everyone. It's the Patrick Show.
Look, it's an NFL blogger lifting weights.
You know how he's working out with a fiend? I called him basically a taller Greg.
Ooh, what is that?
What does that mean?
That was like a month ago when you were complimenting his body. I said he's basically a taller Greg.
Greg, what do you think about that?
That sounds like one of the best compliments you could give a guy.
All right, let's move on. The Baltimore Ravens lost Terrell Suggs last week, lost to the Broncos last week. Here's the good news. They get to go to Oakland, the Black Hole, or at least we think maybe you want to give the Raiders a benefit of doubt. They just weren't ready. They hit a buzzsaw. The Cincinnati Bengals, you know, one of the great teams of all time, came into their building and wiped them out. I'm joking about the Bengals. But maybe, Mark, can we say the Raiders have a chance in this game, or are we just going to assume again that the Raiders are going to go 2-14 or 3-13? Any hope?
Well, I think the difference between this game and last game is Baltimore is pretty barren of weapons. And you're playing a pretty good pass rush in Oakland. John Harbaugh called it one of the best in the league. That felt like coach speak to me. But Flacco got waxed last week a couple times against an absolutely good pass rush in Denver. And if you can get to him again, listen, they really didn't have a way out of that. Their offense just had nowhere to go with the ball.
The only good thing that Joe Flacco does, well, the best thing that Joe Flacco does is throw it deep and throw mid-range passes. And they were too afraid that they couldn't protect him last week to even try it, or that's just not what they're going to do. Throw some passes down the field.
How do you, not to get off topic, but I know it's hard to keep guys sometimes, but how do you let Torrey Smith go out of the building?
Well, how about why you're in the
franchise quarterback?
Exactly. If you're in the Bay Area, get Torrey Smith and Anquan Boldin and bring him back on the plane.
Rashad Berryman's supposed to replace him. It's not their fault that he developed a knee injury in August.
But still, even that, you're hoping that immediately that guy becomes that player. I don't know, just certain
quarterback
types. I
mean, Ozzie Newsom's a really good general manager.
I think I'm a better GM,
He wanted
Wes.
To put that money somewhere
who
else.
Who has a better receiving corps now, Cleveland or Baltimore, without Perriman?
By the way, Torrey Smith had, 20 yards in the opener?
I would take Baltimore because Steve Smith, is at least the league average starter, and the Browns don't have one. But the Ravens, to your point, are playing Marlon Brown and Campanero and Kamara Aiken and Buck Allen looking okay at running back. It's like, it's not a good offense. This is a winnable game.
Unfortunately, they play against a team that stinks.
That's right.
They signed Taylor Mays this week to start for them.
Derek Carr. That's rough. It sounds like Derek Carr will return for this game.
Is that good?
I don't think it. I think at least if you're the Raiders, you want him out there as much as you can, obviously. Although I do like McCloin.
McCloin's one of those guys that has a weird fan club. Every once in a while, a backup gets that, and it seems like people are high on him.
Well, he's had a couple
moments. We should
see
the rate of big plays.
If Dan doesn't starting quarterbacks, he certainly doesn't like young backups. So
for all the people
making
excuses for Carr for having bad wide receivers, the rate McGloin's rate of big plays is astronomically higher than Derek Carr's.
We all took the Raiders. Stunner. Just kidding. The Raiders stink. Oh. We all took the Ravens.
Everyone, huh?
Sorry, Blacko. I do. I honestly do. I feel for that fan base because they're stuck with another bad team, it looks like.
I'm with you.
Finally, the Miami Dolphins. Finishing strong. The Miami Dolphins, who got the job done in week one, and underwhelming of any of the AFC East teams that won in week one. I thought the Dolphins showed me the least, but whatever. The Jacksonville Jaguars now are on their schedule, so look at that nice little start here. You get the Redskins and the Jaguars back-to-back weeks. And listen, maybe Blake Bortles shows us something. Interesting thing, line before I throw the game to you guys. Interesting line from Blake Bortles, who seems a little frustrated right now. A reporter asked him about the fans saying that they need to improve their play calling. And his response was, I don't know. It's like a kindergartner saying something to a college kid.
Well, he's right.
Yeah, he's right.
He's right.
I have no problem with that statement.
It's not going to play well with. It's not going to play well, but he's correct.
It's a great quote.
He's not wrong.
Well, kindergartners are cute too. I mean, like that's a likable age, likable.
Well, they're idiots too. Like you know, like kids are stupid.
Yeah, they're developing. I don't know. Idiots is the.
Oh, they're beautiful. They're beautiful humans, but there's just barely anything going on upstairs.
Yeah, they don't know.
That's what he's saying.
Right. It's an excellent analogy.
Well,
you just don't say it. You're the face of the franchise.
I'm glad he said it.
I like Blake Bortles.
Well, you wouldn't run into trouble with the press, Wes.
You definitely would run into trouble.
I wouldn't care. I'd tell them what they are.
The Blake Bortles play they should be calling is, how about don't throw it 10 yards over the receiver's head this week? When I like Blake Bortles, but when Blake Bortles has that thing that worries me, which some quarterbacks never, it's like I don't think you can solve that. When Blake Bortles misses, he misses by a ton. Like he had 5 or 6 throws that he's not trying to throw away that he missed by 10, 15 yards last week. And that happens a lot. And I like Blake Bortles. He did a lot of good things last week too. But it's like, what is happening on those throws? Are there any great quarterbacks ever that have that trait?
Well, you know what worries me? He's been sacked 4 more times in 8 straight games. He's been playing behind for 2 years in a row, one of the worst lines. And how do you develop a young quarterback when you can't stay on your feet? I mean, he's getting crushed back there half the time.
I thought he looked better in his numbers, but I also fell asleep watching this game.
I will say this. I will say this. There's no more Titans. They're the Titans. Now, I'm going to say this. If the Jaguars don't start doing something, they will officially, in my eyes, become the Jacksonville Jag-who? That's who they will be. They,
you know, wait, you're not wrong. Because
that's Dr. Seuss.
I will refuse to respect them as a entity in the NFL if they don't do something very soon.
We have given them the benefit of the doubt in many ways. In many ways. I stumbled over it a couple times because I want them to succeed. I like the idea of that organization turning
around.
You
love that front office. You love the coach.
I do. I like the coach. But it's like
you love the fullback?
You don't get 3 or 4 years to win 4 games every season. They've got to go.
They've done a pretty long rope.
They've got a very long rope.
Hey, Jack,
with a patient owner.
Do something.
And they are. They're going to do something this week. I think they'll find a way to avoid an 0-2 start here.
The Jaguars will?
Yeah, why not? I think also Mark's got to be careful because he is going over to London. We didn't even talk about this, but he is going to go cover these Jaguars. So you want to make sure they're a nice, saucy, 4-3 Jaguars team.
I would like that.
And yet you picked the Dolphins in this game.
Well,
hopefully,
because I believe the Dolphins
in that
will win this game.
Connor Orr is the only one who took the Jaguars.
By the way, if the Jaguars lose this game, you're going to be hearing a lot of talk like we just had about this group of Jaguars because their next two games are at Colts, at Patriots. I'm not saying that there's no way they win either one of those games. That's a tough road.
They better win this
game. Staring at 0-4.
All right, one more time, TD.
What's more likely?
All right, what's more likely? This was authored for me, so I'm running it.
Oh, okay, come on, just
whatever. All right. What's more likely? One, Dolphins versus Jaguars leads NFL Game Day final because it's so sexy, or Jay Cutler gets carried off the field because he's so sexy.
It's going to be like an overtime thriller for Dolphins Jaguars because I think the teammates would drop Jay Cutler if they were trying to carry him off the field.
I think it's more likely that Jay Cutler gets carried off. And it has nothing to do with his looks.
By the fans?
Well, when he delivers a beautiful last-minute drive, he's good for one every year where he just wows you with his arm and the team gets crazy. They're 1-1. They got a home win in John Fox era.
Who's carrying a quarterback off the field in week 2?
Do you remember when
that would be awesome, though.
Remember when Lance Briggs said on our air that he wanted to punch Jay Cutler?
How about maybe one of those things where you hug the guy and you kind of lift him up a little just for a second? Does that count?
I don't know, I think like probably, 15 games would need to lose feed for Dolphins Jags to lead Game Day. I mean, they didn't have no footage of those.
There's literally no chance that game would ever.
No, I hate to say it. There is. If something terrible happened, which that's the only way.
Don't say it.
No, nothing. I don't mean anything in
like
particular.
Like a Batman Steelers Heinz Field type scenario.
Or the game got canceled for weather, that would maybe lead it, something like that.
But not for the game.
Who's going to win this game?
I just told you the Jags are.
Listen, I don't care, Greg.
Okay.
It's just not right. It's not right for you to then
that's
be
fair.
Picking games
that's
and
fair.
Then not be picking
that's
games.
That's fair.
It's totally unfair. All right. That's it for the Thursday preview, Friday preview ahead of the big week 2. We will be back, of course, on Sunday night recapping all the Sunday games. And how exciting is that? Right?
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Very exciting.
Let's do it a couple days.
Until then, this is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the boss, and TD behind the glass. Until then.